Intervju Radija Študent. En lep pozdrav vam želimo tlele v mizi, je že skoraj Radio Študent, štirje smo, Soul in Skyrider Band sta z mano. Hmal bomo vprašali tele na angliščino. Hello guys.
Hello, what up?
Oh, you gotta be like, yeah, Soul je tale, just give a voice that people will recognize your voice.
Yeah.
He's Soul.
Oh. My name is Bud Burning.
Okay.
And I'm John.
Okay. Now you know who is in the studio, a radio student. And we'll talk about today's concert, new album, and something else. You'll see. So the first thing in Slovenia today was that you were robbed at a highway station by the controllers.
Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan was waiting for us as soon as we got here, and they said we weren't hanging a rabbit tail or whatever from the back of our bumper, so we had to pay €150 fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called a vignette. They're like, oh, it's a vignette, vignette. I'm like, a vignette is something you hang from a ceiling. It has nothing to do with driving. They're like, you know, they... I showed them my passport. I was like, I'm an American. You can't do this to me. You know, I will bomb this place. And they didn't appreciate. They didn't believe me. Okay. And when I said my father is George Bush, you know, I meant Obama. My father is Barack Obama. You know, he will destroy. He will level this place. You know, but they.
€150.
Yeah. So it was 100. I had to pay the 150. I couldn't call in the airstrike.
Okay, not good. First question is, why did you create Anticon? And was it like a creativity or aesthetic issue or financial issue?
It was all those things. It was just back then in the early 90s, there wasn't weird hip-hop. All hip-hop was going towards being like poppy and mainstream and just boring and uncreative. And so we wanted to put out experimental hip-hop. It was business. We didn't want business people telling us what we could or couldn't do.
But what was your role there? Your actual role in Anticon?
I just did the managing, the distribution, whatever, everything.
What's the relationship in Anticon now?
Pretty much zero.
Pretty much zero. So you are all working for like different labels.
Some people are still working with Anticon exclusively. I'm not anymore.
You're not? So you are actually not a part of Anticon anymore? Or?
I don't know if I'm still a part of Anticon. Not, maybe today I am, but maybe not 2 weeks from now.
You are creating your own label.
Yeah, I've been doing all my stuff DIY for the past few weeks. I mean, for the past few years, and I... just handling everything on my own, I like that better. I like being full control of all my labor.
What about Fake Four?
Fake Four is my friend's record label. John works for them, and you know, they're just really supportive of what we're doing. And it's a new label, so
that's
we have
their
a lot
first
of.
Release.
No, it's not the first release. They put out the Micah 9 1969 album. They're putting out the next Radical Face album. They're putting out some pretty big stuff. And yeah, he just started the label last year, and we became good friends with him, and we felt that that's what we wanted to put Soul and Skyrider out.
Him being Chesky Ramos. He works with DJ Scientist on Equinox Records as well.
Uh-huh. But what's the story behind Fake Four? There's no story.
I just started working for them not too long ago.
Because you released the album and you...
Yeah, well, we've gotten to become friends, and they trust me, helping them out with the small promotion type stuff.
We like to have our hands on our business and not let someone else control everything, like Tim was saying.
But you are actually all involved in Fake Four now with this album. But what's your next step? Let's say Skyrider will make like a new album without Soul, and you will make like new album without them. You will be a part.
No. Now we're already working on the next album. I mean, we in 2010, you can't just make an album and sit around all year. You have to do lots of projects. So. I mean, our main focus is Soul and Skyrider, but they're working on a lot of stuff right now.
We've all got side projects we're working on. We do a project called Furious Styles with Telephone Jim Jesus. It's more dubstep, instrumental. I'm working on a project with Jim Worster, a folk project. And Tim's also doing other things.
Where is your other member from last Ljubljana Geek?
Prison.
Yeah. Prison.
Tax evasion.
Really?
Yeah, his father is a...
He is the one that will bomb Slovenia. Is he?
No. He, what happened... It's a funny story. His father's a citrus farmer. He's owns an orange farm in...
Florida.
In Florida. And Ryan was driving to California with a giant truck full of oranges. And they stopped him at the border of California at a...
Because you can't bring in agriculture from other places.
He didn't have a vignette on his truck, and so he's actually in Guantanamo right now.
So it's good for you, you know. You just paid like 150 euros.
Yeah, if we had him in prison. If we had him with us, we'd all be dead right now.
Yeah.
Okay. About lyrics, you're still pretty much angry, but. Maybe not as much as you were angry before on the album. You're maybe focusing more on your life, kind of new lifestyle, on subject matter about living with electronics, technology.
Why?
Why?
Because that's what I'm interested in right now is, you know...
Isn't it because you're like maybe... older or...
Well, I'm not angry. Like, I mean, I used to be able to write every album could just be about, I hate the music industry and keeping me down. It's like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about the war in Iraq. I don't want to talk about things that are important today. And then it's not important 3 months from now. It's like this broader social issues that, you know, you can talk about that cross over to everything. And so that's more what I'm interested in. It's not like I'm writing diaries or anything now, but I'm trying to talk more about the social,
but
postmodernist.
Is this maybe because you were living in the woods of Arizona without all these things? Do you think that reflects your music too?
Maybe. I mean, I think it's just basically what I'm reading and what I'm interested in and the way I'm looking at the world. I mean, I'm in the woods, but it's not like everybody doesn't have a cell phone in the woods. Like, everybody's updating their Facebook from the top of the mountain, you know? So, and all that's... There's so much there to talk about, you know?
What about... I think the last time you were here, you were living in Spain. Why Spain and then go to...
Why Arizona? Anywhere, man? Because you know what? Because you can be...
You're adventurous.
You can be poor anywhere. That's why.
Uh-huh. So you can go and live in Slovenia. You can very soon, you know, when you're just crossing the border, you're poor in Slovenia.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be poor. Yeah, just like today.
Yeah.
Try it again. I got your vignette right here, border.
Okay. What about your approach with the live band? So how do you see like the difference between your... between the work with the producers on like selling like water and now with the band?
I don't know. I've been smoking so much hash, I don't remember any of it. I don't know what we do. No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
It's the same thing. It's the same aesthetic, really. The only difference is that there's more cooks in the kitchen and we all tour together. So it's like, as opposed to where Nostom would make a beat for me in the past, like, you know, we'd spend a week working on a song and then he'd go off and do his stuff. You know, it's, he wasn't really invested in, those guys weren't really invested in my music. You know, it was like, kind of like they were, it was contract jobs. Like, they'd make me a couple beats and then I'd go do it. But I felt like I couldn't really develop my sound the way I wanted to. I wanted to, like, have a band that we toured together. We, you know, work towards a similar musical goal. You know, like, we all, you know, we have all the same interests, and I don't know.
So I think you're more involved in the procedure of the work with the band than before.
Not really. It's basically the same. He does. These guys do all the work. I just rap pretty much.
Okay. How about the band? You're actually not a hip hop band. You know what? Which?
That's what you say.
Yeah, that's what I say.
I don't know what we are, man. Our style's always changing. We're getting stronger and bigger and better. And who knows what we'll be sounding like in a year or 2 years. This is what we sounded like last year, and listening to it, I'm pretty happy with it. I think it's hip-hop, but I don't know, I don't listen to hip-hop.
But I mean the band, so the three of you or the two of you, you know, you are like the band which are not playing, you are not playing hip-hop before you met Soul, so what's...
They kind of were. They were.
They were?
They were. He was doing hip-hop.
Yeah, more or less.
About the same hip-hop.
Because the first concert was, like, very expressive, you know, from your side.
Well, what you saw was our live show that we've done on a few tours where we would just open for Soul and improvise our sets, just more for our own release, really. Stuff that we'd never done for ourselves or in front of an audience before, but just as a reaction to the touring and having such a refined set that we do with Soul, to have an opportunity to do whatever we felt at the moment was great for us then. So that's what you were hearing, and that may be your reference point for our music.
But you will play in the same manner today.
No, we're not doing a solo Skyrider set today. Just the
Just Soul and Skyrider.
Just Soul and Skyrider band for the store.
What about? Do you think that the instrumentation is more mature approach in hip hop than the classical beat approach?
Is it more mature?
Yeah.
I don't think. I wouldn't really say it's. You
we
know.
Still like you samples.
Yeah, I mean, you can do a lot of the best
you
stuff.
You have some samples on albums.
Sure.
You know, it's definitely sophisticated. It's definitely, you know, there's a lot going on there, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily more mature. It's more immature.
More immature.
Why do you
more
say
immature? Because we just, I don't know.
It's
not
we're
so refined.
We're just doing what we want to do.
We
don't limit ourselves to anything. If we wanted make a song based on just a sample, and you'll hear one tonight that's a brand new that's based on a sample with no live instrumentation in it, and then we'll have some that are all live.
Or some that's a sample but totally manipulated to where it's no longer a sample at all, you know, it's just a sound.
But how do you see the people on your concert? Are they hip-hop heads or they're like alternatives?
It's everything, man. I mean, I'm still a hip-hop cat to a lot of people, you know. A lot of people think of me as a rapper. They know I do all this other stuff and that I make records that they don't like sometimes or whatever, but, like, I'm a rapper to them. So hip-hop people are always at my shows. They might be wearing a little more black and be kind of like anarchy hip-hop kids or something, but they're pretty much hip-hop fans and hipsters. We have a lot of hipster fans. It's like 50-50. You know, wiggers and hipsters.
What about the battles? You won't do those battles anymore.
Battles?
Yeah, like classical hip-hop battles.
Yeah, I don't really like, I mean, I battle these, we battle each other when we're drunk. but we don't.
So maybe today after the concert.
Yeah, we'll battle.
Okay.
I mean, I like talking trash, man. You know.
Okay.
It's fun.
So we must buy like different tickets for your. Your show after your show.
Yeah, it's called
just
the
battle
and
show.
Pineapple.
Yeah, it's called the okay. Rub and Pineapple Show.
See us at the merch booth.
Okay. What's the ticket for the show? Finance.
Okay. To get served.
Yeah.
You pay two rum and pineapples. Two rum with pineapples. If I beat you after I serve you, you have to buy rounds for everyone in the band. If you beat me, then they go on to the championships and battle John.
Okay, so you can't win, actually. It's not a good thing investing of your money.
When you hurt other people, you never win.
Do you see a good show as a good platform for selling the albums, you know, in these
it's the
days?
It's the last frontier.
It's the last frontier.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, I mean, you can't buy, like, your album in Slovenia nowhere, so we must, like, order it from Germany, from England, from... But I think those concerts are the biggest selling point of your products. So how do you sell your products when you are not touring, like for a year or for 2 years?
Through distributors. That's kind of what I was talking about with Anacon, is that Anacon has been without European distribution for almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And that's just been disastrous, I think. And that's our records haven't been available widely in Europe for quite some time. But you know, the music industry is shrinking. So whereas before it used to be really important to have a separate distributor in Europe, now like Americans don't even buy records anymore. They don't buy CDs, they don't buy anything. So they're just downloading it. And I think a lot of people have just given up on selling physical products. Like for us, it's not so important to find European distribution anymore, because people who want it know how to buy it direct from us online. And I just think the old way of like going to a record store and getting recommendations and spending all that time, it's cheaper if you order it direct from the artist. That's how I sustain myself, is through online sales.
Well, what about buying an MP3, like a single MP3 from the album? Do you think that's good? You know, because you're making like the whole album, maybe as a concept, and then somebody just buy like one.
It's not a question of good or bad anymore. It's what is, you know. A lot of just horrible things are happening constantly, and we just have to live with it and deal with it and try to evolve with it.
So if you fail to sell anything, you're actually, it's your fault or what?
If I don't sell?
Yeah. Do you think?
Hasn't been a problem yet.
Uh-huh.
The kids are eating it up. They just love it.
They love it. But I mean, you know, you can open your own record label. You're doing actually the whole promotion by yourself or by a small label. You are more involved into the project. So if you fail, you fail, but you know that's your point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's your fault. And before, when you failed, you didn't know that it was your fault. You know, the distributors, the record labels, or somebody else can pretty much fuck you up.
Well, I mean, you know, we know what people should be doing. We know what's fair. We know what's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's what we're aiming for. That's the thing, is like you can't really measure if something succeeds or fails anymore. Now it's just, for us, it's a matter of, are we paying our bills? Do we feel good about what we're doing? Are we having fun? And if the answer is yes, then keep going. And when the answer is overwhelmingly no, then we close shop.
And you'll do what?
Be a pimp.
Be a pimp. Soul the pimp.
A cop/pimp. I'll be a vignette agent.
in Slovenia
vignette
or in...
No, in America. You can make so much money off that. 150 euros? That's like $5,000. You know, I would be... I could retire after a year.
What kind of music are you listening to at the moment?
Gangsta
all
rap.
All three of you. Gangsta rap. Which rapper?
Young Jeezy, Gucci Mane, whatever.
I like the new... I really like the new Jay-Z album.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Did you hear, like, songs from number 7 to number 16 on the playlist of Jay-Z's new album?
Yeah, I did. I heard the whole album. I mean, there's stuff I don't like about it, but I like it.
I think that the first part is pretty good, but then after, I don't know, 6th or 7th song, it's just going down and down.
Yeah, well, I like it.
What about non-hip-hop albums? What are you listening to? Do you have any influences when you're doing the music?
Yes, the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Nico Case is an artist that we all love.
Nico Case is pretty big in America.
Yeah, she's growing.
I don't like music. I listen to talk radio. I listen to talk radio and gangster rap.
Do you have radio at home?
Huh?
Do you actually have radio at home?
Yeah. Yeah. NPR.
What BBC. About TV?
BBC, you have TV.
Have TV?
Yeah. Oh. Big HD TV. Okay. Big American TV in the back of my SUV. with a Budweiser on top of it.
Okay, that's good.
A couple dogs.
As long as Budweiser is there. What about Slavoj Žižek? He's a Slovenian philosopher. You know
yes,
him?
I've heard of him.
You heard of him?
Yeah, no, I like him very much. I love his... He's funny, man.
Yeah, because you're sampling him a lot on your Nuclear Winter mixtape.
Mm-hmm. He says it. You know, he says what I want to say.
Uh-huh. So he's talking almost the same thing that you would like to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, Plastique was definitely influenced a lot by Slavoj Žižek.
Okay, we'll tell him.
Yeah, do you know him?
He's from Ljubljana.
Do you know him? Have you met him?
Yeah, I met him like a couple of times. He's a teacher on the Faculty of Philosophy in Ljubljana. Maybe he's his teacher. Maybe.
Really?
Maybe. No. Ah, okay.
Bring him to the show, man.
I think he's living in Argentina at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he's like my favorite, man. I'm really interested in people who are alive right now that are analyzing our world. You know, I don't agree with everything Žižek says. I think a lot of times he's just having a lot of fun with words.
Yeah.
But I like all his ideas. You know, I think all his ideas are great. You know,
even the stuff
I disagree with, I still see the point he's making, and it's usually valid. You know.
What about Chomsky?
What does he say about Chomsky?
No, what about him? If you like Slavoj Žižek, most of those people like Chomsky too.
I like Žižek more. Noam Chomsky was really important in the 90s and early 2000s for people who want to learn more about imperialism or whatever. But Noam Chomsky doesn't talk about any of the stuff Žižek really talks about, you know? But I love Noam Chomsky. I love all those obvious choices, you know, Howard Zinn.
Okay, so we have like a half of minutes to say to the people that they must come to your concert. And
look, our people, the American people, are starving. We are living day to day. Please help us. Come to our show, buy a CD, and you might just be saving a life. My village will respond positively. Please come. Okay. Please.
Please.
Interview Radia Student.